He is here. He inhabits the praises of his people. He is moving among us. Got to let him in. All in. Amen? Every room, every void, the attic, the basement, the closet, let him in. Amen? Let him come in and sweep it clean. And then let him fill your life with all who he is. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So yeah, being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't just about speaking in tongues. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your life will be holy. That's the greatest evidence of the infilling, is the Holy One produces holiness. You and I cannot produce holiness. He is our holiness. That's why we need Him. We don't trust in our own righteousness. We don't trust in ourselves. We have to depend on the grace of our Lord. He is my holiness. He makes me holy. When I'm filled with Him because I have cooperated with Him, then my life is holy. You see that? Otherwise, we're just working to be holy or working to achieve righteousness, which is impossible. You cannot achieve it. You must receive it. And your righteousness is a person. Amen? His name is Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness. And legalism tells us, even the law, that through my own efforts, I must live holy enough. But none of us were able to do that. So what God does is He takes out of us the old heart and gives us a new heart. And then He places His Spirit within us that cries out, Abba, Father. We become worshipers in spirit and in truth. And your life will begin to be transformed as your mind is changed and your thinking is transformed. Then you will come to an understanding or a knowledge of the truth. And the truth shall set you free. My mind has to come into alignment with the Spirit of Christ. And that's why we're reaching out to Him and opening our lives to Him. The Spirit is the one who takes the things of Jesus and reveals them to us. He searches the deep things of God and He reveals them to us. We cannot know God except through the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we just have Bible debates because we're operating simply from the human reasoning. You can't know truth except by the Spirit of truth. And when you have the Spirit of truth, when you hear the truth, His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit, and you'll say, yes, that is true. I know that's true. Jesus said, those who are of the truth will hear the truth or listen to the truth. So this is how we know who the sons of God are. Amen. Because they say yes to truth. Because we love Jesus, we say yes to Him. Because He is the truth. Amen. He's my truth. He's my reality. Yes. If my thinking does not agree with what He says and what He has declared about Himself, what He has revealed, then my thinking is off. And it has to come into agreement with what the Spirit is saying. Does that make sense? What God says in His Word. And as I'm renewed in my thinking, I begin to live out the reality of what Christ has done for me and what He wants to do through me. So I can't, in my own wisdom, ever be smart enough to figure God out. How many have figured that out already? But what He wants us to know, He will reveal to us through His Spirit. That's why it is so important that we have a personal relationship. That we know the Comforter. We know the Holy Spirit. We know the voice of the Shepherd. He's given us His Spirit. He says, I will send my Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, into our hearts. He said, He's with you, but He shall be in you. Under the old covenant, the Spirit came upon the prophets, the priests, and the kings that were appointed or anointed by God. and they prophesied. In the new covenant, according to Joel 2, and we saw in Acts chapter 2, what? The Holy Spirit came, amen, upon, and they, what, were filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants to fill us with His presence. Fill us with He who is holy, so we will become holy. It was God's idea. It was God's plan. It doesn't matter what my opinion is. I believe what God says. And it's amazing when we start really believing what God says, we start to see it become a reality in our life. It's no longer just an interesting theory. Very interesting concept. It's a reality. He changes us. He gives us a new heart that hates sin. Isn't that something? The stuff I used to love to do, I hate now. Amen? You feel that way? If you do, that's a good sign. If you enjoy your sin, there's something wrong. It means you don't have the new heart yet. But if you hate sin, it's because that new heart is not compatible with the old you, the old nature. That old man is actually dead. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a new heart with the old heart. He said, I'm going to take that heart out and I'm going to give you a new heart. Now, this heart was able to contain my spirit. But we've got to cooperate and let God have His way. Say, yes, Lord. Yes to the Lord and no to me. That's life. That's abundant life. Saying no to me every day and yes to Jesus. And what you do is you're exchanging an inferior reality with a superior one. You're exchanging what may be your truth in your own understanding with His superior truth, which is really the only truth. Because our truth is really a delusion. Our truth is believing a lie and thinking it's true. That's man's natural reasoning. Natural man cannot know God. It's impossible. You can't study enough scripture to know God. You must know God only through the one who reveals Him, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Aren't you glad that the Lord has given us His Spirit today? That the Comforter has come. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Hallelujah. You know, I don't preach a sermon because it's a day on the calendar. I preach what the Lord tells me to preach. Amen. That's safe. Otherwise, we get caught up in the tradition, and you'll quickly run out of life. You'll leak out tradition, and we're people of tradition. We're just used to doing things a certain way. In fact, I can see people sitting in the same seat you usually sit in. Nothing wrong with that. It's just we're just traditional by nature, you know. Unless, of course, we're saying, well, God touched me in this seat, so if I sit here again, no. But we're just creatures of habit. And you know, the Lord is constantly messing us up as far as, you know, just when we start to get everything so set and predictable, something else just kind of keeps us stirred. And it's a good thing. Man, we need to stir up the gift within us. And often it's through difficulties, too, that cause us to cry out and hunger for God. And then we experience the goodness of God and say, wow, this is so much better. Father, thank you for being with us, yes, Lord. Caring about us. Lord, we see ourselves so often and we don't like what we see. But you still thought we were worth it. You still loved us, Lord. And Lord, we know that you are open to those who will turn to you, those who will call on you, that you said if we come to you, you would in no wise cast us out. You would never cast us aside. Lord, thank you for allowing us today to come to you. Thank you that you have paid the price for our sin, Lord. That we can come with a clear conscience today by the blood of Jesus to the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we ask you to touch Claudia. To heal her body, heal her mind, and wherever she needs your touch right now, Lord. Minister to her, minister to her family. And to the little ones, Lord, we miss them when they're not here. Bless them, keep them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Did everybody get their T-shirts, by the way, that had ordered a T-shirt? Okay, we got these guys wearing them today, and I think they came out good. I like them. Mm-hmm. So, okay, everybody, the kids have gone, and praise the Lord. Oh, God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You know the gospel. How many know what gospel means? Good news, yeah. So if our gospel is not good news, it's not gospel. It's not the gospel. Now, sometimes the good news comes in the form that may be painful initially. How many have discovered that sometimes it takes a hurt to feel better? You know, if something is broken, such as a leg or a finger, you know, it would be much easier just to leave it broken and let it heal. But if it did heal that way, it would heal wrong. So sometimes you just got to re-break it and reset it and correct the situation. So initially, there's pain. And God's ways are often like that, where there is a short-term pain for a long-term gain. If you want to grow, you're going to have to accept the reality that there are going to be some initial sacrifices. It's going to require you to make some decisions about yourself, about what you do with yourself, what you do with your body. There's going to be some short-term pain, but it produces long-term gain. See, we're not living for the temporary. We're not to live according to this pattern of this world. We're not living for what is now. We are living for what is coming, for what will be. We're living for the kingdom, which is the eternal kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Amen? We are living for eternity. We are eternal creatures in Christ. So there are going to be sacrifices that we're going to have to make. We're going to have to make decisions to deny myself certain things that maybe my flesh wants to do. But if you really want the treasure, the true treasure, you're going to have to say no to you and yes to him. And God will teach you, the more that you do that, the more you say no to your way and yes to his way, the more you come alive and the more joy there is in your life. How many have discovered that just saying yes to the Lord produces joy? Yeah. It's true. You know, we're not to be gloomy because we have the light. We have access to the throne of grace, and you don't even have to wait for Sunday. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But we're going to have to say no to some things that are distractions, things that are choking us, the life out of us, because they may not even be bad things, but they're things that really are not good in the sense that they're robbing you of precious time that should be devoted to building up your spiritual life. You got to build yourself spiritually. You got to feed your spirit. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He's our bread. So he gives us living bread. You know, folks, how many have discovered that it's important for us to have confidence when we approach God's throne, when we pray? Has anybody discovered that that's kind of a necessary thing? That you need to have confidence when you approach God's throne. How many have realized in yourself that, you know what, I really need to pray, but I feel like such a scumbag. I feel like I've blown it so much that it ain't going to do any good because God's not going to hear me. Has anybody beside myself ever felt that way? How many know that that's not Jesus? Amen? Yeah, that's not God's heart. That's the enemy smoke screening you. God wants you to come to him. In fact, you can't even be forgiven until you come to him. So you just got to call on Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry. If there's any sin in my life, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And you know what he says? You're forgiven. The price is paid. There's blood on the altar. Go and sin no more. Repent. Amen. Change your mind about what you did. Learn from it. Just like any good father is going to treat his son. Amen. When the son blows it, he still loves his son. You don't throw him away because he made a mistake. As long as the son's willing and teachable and willing to learn and change his ways, amen, there's mercy. And the father's rooting for us. The father wants us to do well. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to his son in the Lord, Timothy. Now, he was not boasting in that fact. He was not justifying bad behavior. He was talking about his past. He was talking about his former life and the way he used to live. And but he says, listen, I realize that I am a sinner, you know. I realize that I have blown it with God. I have fallen short of his glory. And I even persecuted the very ones that I'm now joining myself to. You know it. Saul was a terrorist. He persecuted the church. And isn't it interesting that that's the same guy that God gets a hold of and raises up? That's God's love. That's God's mercy. That's God's wisdom. Now, the world says, nah. But you know, when we start to see ourselves clearly, then we become a little more compassionate, a little bit more understanding, amen, a little bit more gracious towards others and their faults. When I really see myself in light of his holiness, I begin to realize that, you know what, I fall very short in comparison to his holiness. Therefore, my only hope is that God would show me mercy. To cast myself down at his mercy. The only hope you have is not just being better now, but throwing your life down at his feet and saying, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, Jesus. And when you truly repent from your heart, when you come to a brokenness and a godly sorrow that works repentance, you know, something happens. It's called being born again. There, all of a sudden, something changes. It's like that old stony heart is gone, and now I have a heart of love. Now I have a heart that loves people. Now I have a heart that desires to honor God, that desires to please Him, that hates sin. The things I used to rejoice in, now I hate. I have a new normal. What used to be normal to me now is abnormal. Why? Because I'm a new creation in Christ. You understand? While we were yet in sin, while we were still in our sin, while we were still enemies to God, Jesus came. Jesus willingly laid down his life for sinners. We need to remember that, because often we start to appraise ourselves and we start to praise ourselves, you know? You appraise yourself and then you praise yourself. And you pat yourself and say, well, at least I'm not as bad as that guy or that girl over there. You know, we can begin to compare ourselves. Whenever we become self-righteous, you know, then we become Pharisees and we compare ourselves to other people. But we need to be like that man that, you know, the publican that beat his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. All I can do is cry out for mercy. I deserve hell. I deserve your judgment. But I'm asking you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins. And he does. You know, we can't even love him until we first come to the knowledge of his love. We need to have confidence in approaching God. We need to really know and believe that God really does love us. That God is the one who took the initiative to send Jesus, his son, to die. Amen. It was God's idea. God loved us. God saw value in us. You were worth the blood of Jesus to him. See, our theology sometimes is twisted because we just think that if I'm good enough in myself, God will like me more. God already loved us. When we were still in sin, he loved us. And in mercy, God gave us his son as an offering to pay our debt. God does love you. God wants to save. God wants to heal. God wants to transform. God wants to fill you with his spirit. Amen. And raise you up and be a vessel of honor, representing the king, an ambassador of the Most High God. That's what God wants to do with your life. It's not just for that guy over there. It's for you. The promise of the Spirit is unto you. Amen. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. And to be an ambassador. To be a vessel that God uses. To release the fragrance of Christ in every place. To represent him. Hallelujah. You remember Adam's problem when he sinned, and what did he do? He attempted to run away from God rather to God, right? And then on top of that, I want you to hear this, because he attempted to cover his own sin. Those are usually the two responses to sin, isn't it? First of all, we try to run and hide. And then the second one is we try to cover it up. God saw through it all. Amen. God knows it all. Don't, you can't fool God. Just be honest. Okay, Lord, I blew it. You know, sometimes we feel like the prodigal, God. You know, I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. Just make me one of your hired servants. I'll sweep the floor. I'll do whatever. And God says, welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. I love you. We're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate. That's God's heart. He gave Adam a promise in Genesis 3:15. He said the seed of the woman, who was that? That was Jesus, would break the head of the serpent. Who's the serpent? Satan. It's talking about Christ right there. God immediately gave a promise to Adam and Eve. He didn't kick them to the curb. God knew ahead of time. God knew it all. He knew they would blow it. But what did he do? He had something already in place. He had a plan. To redeem us. You only redeem something that is valuable. So don't think you're not valuable. Because usually our value is shaped by the opinions of others who have spoken into our lives throughout our lives. Our value sometimes is tainted even by our own opinions of ourselves, because we've blown it so much in life we just think we're a loser. And if you think you're a loser, you will act like a loser. But God loves you. God sees value in you. God saw so much value that he was going to pay the highest price for you and for me. That's how valuable we are to him. And that's understanding that love makes me want to love him back. I sent out a text message earlier in the week. But worship is anything we do to love God back. I want to love God back. Amen. I want to serve the Lord. I want to love him back in appreciation for all he's done for me. Are you forgiven today? See, that's what the cross is all about. Genesis 3:15, that was the promise. The cross was a victory. And to the redeemed in Colossians 2:13, it says, and you, being dead in your trespasses in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In what? In the cross. God took those things that were written against us due to our transgressions. Are you hearing that? All those sins, all those bad deeds, all those thoughts, all the sin, amen, was judged on the cross. So there is now a way for us to be free from it, from our past, from our mistakes. Ha ha, that's good news. Ha ha, for God so loved the world. For God so loves you. Don't ever let that devil lie to you and tell you that you can't come to your Father. You can't pray. You can't approach God's throne because of this and that thing. You claim the merits of Calvary. You claim the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, as sufficiency for you, as what cleanses you and what keeps you. It's not by my works. It's by His righteousness that I can approach the throne of grace. It's not by me achieving that place with God. It's God taking care of it for me and now allowing me to come boldly so I can receive everything I need to live a life that pleases Him. Amen? I can find mercy at the cross. I can find grace in His throne. The only hope any of us have is the mercy of God. But I want you to hear this, folks, and this is the problem. That there are many people who do not realize that they need the mercy of God. Until a person comes to the place where they understand their sin, understand the depths of their sin, and understand their true need of God's mercy, they will never receive mercy. Because if you don't realize you need His mercy, you won't come to Him for mercy. But the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin. Is to bring an awareness to us that we have sinned and that we've fallen short. It's the Holy Spirit's work to reveal to us what true righteousness is. Jesus said, I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and He will teach you. He will take of mine and He will show it to you. In John 16 and verse 8, He says, when He comes, He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. And I want you just to hear this. It's not going to match up with what's there. This is in the New Living Translation. But listen, the world's sin is that it refuses to believe in Me. He didn't say that it refuses to measure up to Me, but that the world refuses to believe in Me. Otherwise, we place ourselves back under law, back under, you know, self-performance, self-achievement, as a means of being good enough for God. It's impossible. The cross was necessary because you and I cannot and could not save ourselves. Isn't that true? So thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. Thank God that He saw past my sin, saw my need of His grace and His mercy, took the initiative, went all the way to the cross for me, amen, rose again on the third day, and He's at the right hand of God the Father. He is ever living to make intercession on behalf of us. We have an advocate with the Father. We have a defense lawyer in heaven. We have someone that we can turn to and say, Jesus, forgive me. And He stands in that gap. He stands in that place. The devil points his finger and accuses us before the Father. But Jesus, when we call on Him, He says, Father, forgive him. The price has been paid. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, again, it came upon the prophets and they prophesied. You know, He anointed kings. He anointed the priesthood. But today, thank God, we have the Holy Spirit given to us as a gift. Amen? In Joel chapter 2, He says what? In the latter days, I will pour out My Spirit upon all flesh. God's pouring out His Spirit. The Comforter has come. The heaven is open. We simply need to get under the spout where the glory comes out. Come on. We need to be worshipers. Amen. Open your heart. Receive what He has for you. You cannot achieve it. You receive it. It's the gift of God. And when you're filled with Jesus, your life will look like Jesus. Your walk will be like Jesus. Your talk will be like Jesus when you're full of His presence. Not going around just speaking tongues, you know. You can hear people speaking in tongues out one side of their mouth and cussing up a storm out of the other side of their mouth. Come on. Well, God wants to simply change that. Amen? When I got saved, I was excited about Jesus, and I was telling people about Jesus, and I was carrying a great big King James Bible around. And I went to work, man, and I'd bring that Bible out, and I'd smack it down in the middle of the table at lunch, and, you know, where they'd be scattered like cockroaches, you know. But I was going to preach, and I was going to tell them about Jesus, you know. And I was really quick to point out all their faults and, you know, you need to repent, you know. And then God says, okay, I need to do a little work in you now. So He started turning the heat up. And all this ugly stuff started boiling out of me, stuff that had to be renewed, you know, and discarded. And boy, I remember one time getting really, really mad and throwing a chair across the room, and some strange tongue come out of my mouth, you know, and it wasn't holy. And then I remember this one lady, she walks by because I've been talking to her about Jesus, you know, and she goes, praise the Lord. Oh, busted. So God had to humble me and bring me to a place where I knew that the only hope I have is at His mercy and relying on His grace. Amen. Getting out of self-confidence into His confidence, into His ability from my ability. Amen. Yeah. It's all good, though. It works together. John 14:17, Jesus said, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He leads us into all truth. He said the world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and it doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be in you. Whoa. He says He's with you, but later He will be in you. Wow. God's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Folks, do you understand that everybody has an opportunity to receive from the Lord? God has made a way through the blood. The reason why people often do not come to the Lord for the mercy and the grace that is freely available is because they don't even know about it. That's why Romans 10 says, how can they hear unless a preacher be sent? Someone tell them. Listen, God has a bank account in heaven. Amen. Inexhaustible resources and riches of the kingdom that the Father wants to share with His creation. It's there. But if you don't know about it, you're going to live like a pauper. How many know I'm not talking about the dollar bill? Amen. I'm talking about the kingdom and the king and the fact that we're royal children. Amen. And we've been given access, but we only have access because of the revelation, the knowledge, the understanding that God has made a way for me to be free from my past, free from my guilt, free from my shame, free from what was that's no longer me. The old man is dead. I'm a new creation in Christ. Any new creations in here today? The old has gone, the new has come. But my mind now has to be renewed. My mind gets in the way. All the memories and the other stuff that's in there, the junk, I've fed it, you know, through the years. So God says, I'm going to take care of that too. I'm going to transform your mind. I'm going to renew it. And so that through the knowledge of the truth, when you find out what God says, what is really real, the truth, your mind begins now to understand, this is who I am now. It's not something to achieve. It's something that He's already done. Is He given you a new heart? Does your heart now desire God to do the right thing, to live for God? Has He given you that new heart? Is His Spirit in you, amen, that convicts you when you mess up? That's a sign that He's in your life. That's a good thing. But your mind now has to come to that understanding that this is what you used to be, your old way of thinking, your old life, and this is who you are now. And when you come to a knowledge of the truth, when you come to a knowledge of what is real, your mind now is in agreement with what God says by the Spirit. Now you have life and peace. You're not living in fear. You're not living in torment over the past. You're not living in guilt. You're not living in shame anymore. Why? I'm free. God says, I'm free. I receive what He says. My mind says, oh, you're not. God doesn't like you. Your mind says, oh, you remember what you did? But I remind that devil, amen, who wants to speak to my carnal mind, I need to tell him, do you remember what Jesus did? And how He defeated you? And how He broke the power of sin? And I'm no longer who I was. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, the new has come. Now my mind has to bow down to that reality. My mind has to say yes to what is true. Do you understand? It's a renewing process of the mind now. That's what you're struggling with. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. But now your mind has to be renewed through the knowledge of Him. And the promises discover what God has freely given you. This will set you free. You know, it'll set you free from addiction. Because your mind is the problem. Your mind is saying, oh, it's too big. You've done it too long. You'll never be free from it. The carnal mind says that. But the Spirit says, you're already free. Why are you obeying that? You're under new ownership, new management. You, amen, your higher power is Jesus Christ. And the power of God is available to those who believe in it. You see, if you believe you cannot be free, you will not be free. But if you believe that you are free, you will live free. Is it making sense? If we believe we're already set, faith is right now believing that Jesus has set me free. I receive that. If your mind says something else, it's like, shut up. It's illegal. God says, whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. So you got to renew your mind. You need to understand the heart, the mind, the will of God. You need to discover what is freely given to you in Christ so that you're no longer a slave to your old way of thinking, you know. We can be free, actually, but in our minds we're still slaves. When Israel came out of Egypt, they came out, they were free from Egypt, but in their minds they still thought like slaves. That's all they knew. So the same thing is true about us. We have to deal with a slave mentality that we have that tells me that you can't and you won't. When the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, that's the truth. What you believe is what's going to be demonstrated in your life. What you believe in your heart is who you're going to be. If I believe, I'm more than an overcomer, more than a conqueror, more than a conqueror, then I will live that. Because it's what you believe. Do we believe what God says? Or are we going to give in to what my natural understanding might say? My natural understanding goes by what things look like, what they appear to be. My natural understanding goes according to the way I feel today. See, that's the part of you that has to say, wait a minute, it doesn't matter how I feel, what does God say about it? You need to tell your face you have joy. Folks, listen, if you're in Christ, you already have joy. You have peace. It's available. Your mind has to come under submission to that rule. Amen. The law of the Spirit. Your mind wants to tell you this thing. You have to say, no, if it doesn't agree with what God says, it's illegal. All right. In Ephesians 2 and verse 1, again, it's speaking to those who've been born again. And you, He made alive. Who did it? God. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, children of wrath, just as the others. We were all born with that sin nature. All of us. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What? How many believe that today? How many believe that you have been raised up together with Christ and you are seated in heavenly places? Your mind is going to say, oh, that can't be. Are you hearing me today? It's coming to the revelation of the knowledge of the truth that yes, what God says is true, and anything that does not agree with what He says is a lie. When you're feeling down, you're feeling blue. You need to remind yourself that, listen, I have been raised with Christ and I am seated together with Him in heavenly places. I am to live from heaven to earth. I'm not living from a place where I'm trying to achieve something. I'm believing what God has already done and what He's already said. The sin problem's been dealt with. I don't have to live out of regret of the past. If I've confessed my sins, He's forgiven me. It's over. It's under the blood. Go on. Amen. Get up and move out. Get filled. Get filled with the Holy Spirit and go for Jesus. Salvation is not according to works, right, of the law, but according to faith. Because we're under the new covenant. You can't live under both covenants. You can't live under the old and the new, or you'll be confused. What is faith? I used this Wednesday, but I thought this was really good. Listen, faith is perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I don't feel like it today. Faith says it doesn't matter what you feel like. And faith says it doesn't matter what it looks like. We don't live by sight, right? We live by faith. So what may not be revealed to my senses, what my senses tell me is irrelevant. I have discovered that when I really believe God and I prioritize His word above all my emotions and all the way everything I see around me, and I believe God's word, I esteem Him, I esteem His word, then all of a sudden, guess what? My emotions start to come into order. My emotions will start to agree with the reality of the truth. My will begin to will what He wills when I exalt His truth above my own understanding. Is that making sense? My mind comes to a place where I'm now in agreement with what God says. I'm going to meditate, think on, believe what God says, and now my emotions begin to follow suit. Now my will begins to conform to what He says. Amen. To His will. Is that making sense? You see, it's all about the renewing of the mind, coming to a knowledge of the truth that sets you free from whatever you might have originally had programmed into your brain through your whole life and all the stuff that you've had to deal with. Amen. You're not trash. You're not cheap. You're valuable. You're precious. You are His treasure. You are His treasure. He takes His pleasure in you. It was God's idea that you and I would be born for such a time as this. It was His idea. Regardless of how we came on the scene, it was God's idea for you to be here. God loves you. God says you're treasure, you're valuable, you're worth redeeming. Wow. See, our mind has to now come to that agreement, that understanding. Because my mind is often going to tell me, you know, what I've always thought like. And God says, well, no, you have a new nature, a new heart. And I put my Spirit in you. Now your mind has to submit to whatever the Spirit now says. That's what it means to be led of the Spirit. My mind has to submit to what is true. In other words, your mind has to grow up. Your spirit is the adult, your mind is the teenager, and your body is the five-year-old. So the teenager has to, you know what I'm talking about? You know, we're double-minded. We're kind of in between. We're like, yeah, one day I've got victory. I'm believing it. And the next day I'm like, I'm a loser. It's like, you know, forget it. It's overwhelming. Are you hearing me? So the mind has to grow up by coming to a knowledge of the truth. Of what is true. Of what God says about you. I know people will criticize this message, but folks, this is the truth. This is the good news. This is what Jesus did. This is what He says. Do you know, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He didn't do it because they were good. He did it while they were still in sin. And then He went to the cross. Amen. Does God love you? Do you know God cherishes your prayers? Your prayers are as a sweet incense before His throne. It doesn't matter how bad you've blown it. The only way you're going to get help is to come to Him. The only way you're going to get victory is to depend on Him. Amen. That's what Paul was saying. He said, in my weakness, when the Lord spoke to him, He says, in your weakness is my strength. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you come to the realization that you're just not holy enough, you're just not righteous enough, you don't have it together like you think you do, Peter. Peter had to learn the hard way. But he had to come to the place where he knew that now the only victory I'm going to have is completely throwing myself upon His grace and mercy every day. Realizing that I'm poor in spirit. I don't have anything really to offer except a willing mind to say, Lord, I'm going to agree now with what You say. And if my thoughts are contradicting what You have said in Your Word, they're illegal thoughts and I need to cast them down. They're strongholds. If the enemy can get you to dwell on a stronghold, which is something that exalts itself against what God says or tries to set itself above what God says, it has to be brought down. And it's brought down by the revelation of the truth. And you and I meditating, thinking, and speaking what God says will bring that mind into alignment with the Spirit. And all of a sudden, my will and my emotions are in agreement with what God says. The kingdom is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Huh. In other words, if I'm not living in righteousness, peace, and joy, I'm not really abiding in the kingdom. My mind is the problem then. My mind is not thinking God's thoughts. That's what he's saying in Romans 12, verse 2, is when to be renewed in your mind means you need to now think God's thoughts. Look at it from His perspective. Is this making sense? I mean, some of you know this and you've heard this, but I have to remind myself daily because my mind still wants to mess with me. And I have to say no. You know, I mean, I see that beautiful girl walk by. You know, guys, of course, you never had this problem. And all of a sudden, your mind wants to go, ooh, check it out. And that's when I have to say, wait a minute. You know what? I'm married. I have a beautiful woman. You know, she's a good wife to me. It's not worth it. But not only that, I don't want to sin against my God. Amen. I don't want to destroy a testimony to God's grace. So I'm going to be faithful to do what the Spirit tells me to do. The Spirit says, uh-uh, don't go there. Tell that teenager to obey. Guys, you're on the internet. The ladies have problems sometimes too. And all of a sudden those images come up. Oh man, whew. What are you going to do? You're going to tell that teenager to behave. Because if you don't get a hold of that teenager, eventually the five-year-old's going to take over. And then there's going to produce death instead of righteousness. So submitting your mind to what is true. Put on the new nature, Colossians 3:10, and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. How do we get to know each other? We get to know each other through communication. Fellowship, being together, sharing our hearts, right? Talking to one another. God speaks to us through His Word, doesn't He? By His Spirit. And we speak to God and we get acquainted. And we discover, Lord, I never knew that. Really? You look at me that way? I always saw myself this way. Come on. Because people told me I was that way. Because my teacher said I was that way. Maybe parents put you down. Well, if it doesn't agree with what God says, it's illegal for you. It's time for you to change your mind and tell your teenager to behave. Amen? Time to grow up. And you need to think what God thinks. If it's not agreeing with what He says, change stations. Realizing all I have to do is say, no, not going there. You resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Jesus said, I came that you might have life. And life abundantly. The Lord wants you to have righteousness and peace and joy. His righteousness. And the peace and joy that comes through fellowship and relationship with Him. You're here today and you've been dealing with your thoughts. Your mind has been telling you all kinds of stuff that God says is no longer true. You need to change the way you're thinking about it and the way you're looking at it. And I want to ask you to bow your heads right now, if you would. And I want you to repent today about the stinking thinking. The thinking that's not according to the truth. If you felt like you're worthless, or you're a loser, or you're just going to be an addict all your life, that's stinking thinking. And you need to repent of that and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe you didn't know, I didn't know what you said about me. But now I've heard the truth. Now I hear. You say that you love me. You say that I'm precious to you, that I'm valuable, that I'm somebody. And I receive your grace and your mercy. Lord, set me free from myself. Set me free from my past. Set me free from my ways. Teach me your ways. Lead me in your path, Lord. I want your life. I give you my life in exchange for your life. Lord, take out of me the heart of stone and give me that heart of flesh. And put your Spirit in me and make me your own. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Come and reign in me, Lord. Be Lord of all of me. Today is a new day, I believe, for many. Just say, yes, Lord. And I want you to declare this out loud with me. Say, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone. The new has come. That is who I am. I'm a brand new man and a brand new woman. Yeah, thanks, guys. Gotcha. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.